Now, I want to look, first of all, tonight, at Luke chapter 23, a verse there in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified the Lord Jesus. And over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the work of this salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their ruler, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired before it that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And there a verse in Hebrews chapter 10, a verse that was quoted in the prayer meeting already tonight, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. Again, this man, then the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That is a reading tonight. When they came to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him. The Acts 13 tells us that God raised him from the dead. And after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Someone has said this, that we may speak of the Lord Jesus as much as we wish and praise him to the bound of our capacity without ever being reprimanded by heaven for exaggerating his excellences. And yet, when they came to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him. The hymn writer says, "Behold, a spotless victim dies, my surety on the tree, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, he gave himself for me. Whatever curse was mine, he bore the wormwood and the gall, therein that lone mysterious o'er my cup, he drained it all." Someone again has said this, at Calvary, the two seas met in one contending flood, the tidal wave of righteous wrath and all the love of God. When high upon the tree for sin, the Son of God was nailed, the tidal wave of wrath was spent and love divine prevailed. When they came to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him. And it has been pointed out that God took the worst deed in history and turned it into the greatest victory. Now I asked John to change the hymn tonight, and that was why we did sing 773, because there are words there that I would just like to fall back on as we think of the message of the gospel tonight. And the chorus said this: "Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." And that's what we want to think about tonight: God's mercy and God's grace and God's pardon and our burden and the liberty that we can enjoy through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. You know, the place, the name Calvary, is only mentioned once in our Bible. If you look at the other three Gospels, they speak about Golgotha. Well, Calvary is only mentioned once by name in our Bible. And yet again, it has been pointed out that Calvary is the centre of world history. It shows the highest measure of love, the deepest measure of suffering, and the widest measure of salvation. Now again, I'm sure we've all heard the story of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and we know that there were two crucified with him. One of these thieves, it said that he railed on him. But the other one acknowledged, "We received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And this really confirms what had already been said by Pilate: "I find no fault in this man." And there that day, that thief acknowledged the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. And the Lord Jesus says to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So that thief, first of all tonight, that thief on the cross, he found that mercy there was great. Again, we understand this, that salvation is given. It is not earned. It is not the turning over of a new leaf, but the receiving of a new life. Now, people believe that Christ died. That is history. But you know, when it comes to believing that Christ died for me, then that is God's salvation. I wonder tonight now, has everybody in the hall personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour? Again, it has been pointed out that religion can inform and reform, but it cannot transform. And it's only the power of God in a person's life, the trusting of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, that can bring a transformation in a person's life. Again, as we go through the Gospel, there are so many different occasions in the lifetime of the Lord Jesus where people cry out for mercy, and every one of them received it. He said to so many people, go in peace. And I pray tonight he will say that to you as well, if you trust him as your own and personal Saviour. Now, I was just sitting thinking there, reflecting, maybe a sign of old age coming on, just reflecting over the years we've come about in our leaving. Now, I was baptised upstairs in the hall. Bill King baptised me upstairs in the hall. And the first time we came along to the Gospel meeting was with our brother John and Jim Wardlaw. He brought us along to the Gospel meeting. Now, I'm going back to when I was maybe 16 or 17 now. You would think I've got a great memory. But that was the first time, I think, I'd ever preached the Gospel, was up there with Jim Wardlaw and John one Sunday evening. You know, in Psalm 51, it says this, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And that was all I had to offer that night when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I had nothing to offer, but again, the Word of God says this, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Someone again has said that nothing is more deadly than self-righteousness and more hopeful than contrition. And I can remember that night still, way back in December 1951, in a bedroom there in North Volgoni, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I cried for mercy, and God had mercy upon my soul, and God saved me. Again, someone has said that what God has done in Christ for man is so complete that all that man can do is accept it by faith. I wonder if they know, have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? Have you ever shown repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your own and personal, your personal salvation? In Isaiah chapter 1, the word comes forth, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And friend, tonight, that is again, God wants to show us mercy. But again, remember this, there are conditions laid down. Again, as I've said, there must be that repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ to receive this mercy and blessing and salvation. We are of Psalm 103, and we often think about it in our reading, in our meditation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and so on. But verse 8 points out this, that the Lord is merciful and gracious, he is slow to anger, and he is plenteous in mercy. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath removed their transgressions from us. So we can see there that God's mercy cannot be measured and it cannot be exhausted. Again, verse 17 says this, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. You see, there's no beginning to it and there's no end to it. It is an everlasting mercy. When we go to Luke chapter 18, we read about a man there, two men that go up to a temple to pray. And one of them was so full of himself he spoke within himself. It was all he was speaking to himself there as he prayed. His prayer didn't go any further than himself. But you know, there was another man there, and it says of him that he could not as much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All this man wanted was mercy. And we find this, that it says in verse 14, that this man went down to his house, pronounced righteous. He asked for mercy. He had nothing to offer. A broken and a contrite heart will go, they'll not despise. And that was all he had. And that day that he received mercy because he asked for it. We think of the Apostle Paul, and again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says concerning himself that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. So I say, never let a bleak past cloud a bright future. And that is what you will have tonight if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Paul reckoned himself to be the chief of sinners, and I think that Paul regretted for the rest of his days what he had done to the Lord's people in earlier days. And again, this would be worked out and seen in his zeal for the Lord and in his zeal in the presentation of the gospel. He obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. Again, another hymn in our hymn book says, "My sins are the bliss of this glorious thought, my sins, but in part but the whole, are nailed to his cross, and I know them no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul." So again tonight, as we think of Calvary, again, we remember this, that mercy there was great. But again, there are conditions, because again, God's word says, "Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And it is a dangerous presumption to say tomorrow when God says today. Mercy there was great. And then our chorus goes on to say, grace was free. And again, as we think of grace, remember Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the for the riches of his grace. And again, Ephesians 2, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John Russell, I'm sure John Russell's not the many, if not all, involved here tonight. He did some work in a house, and when he came with the account, and we paid it, he wrote over the account, "Paid in full." And you know, really, that is what's written over the message of the gospel, that the gospel has been paid in full by the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The poet says, "Paid, paid, paid." It swells into music within. "Paid, paid, paid, the penalty due to my sin. My Saviour has set my soul free. My peace with the Father has made. My debt on the tree he has balanced for me, and it's paid, paid, paid. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." The cost of our salvation, our redemption, has been paid in full by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ there upon Golgotha. Again, someone has said this, that mercy withholds what we deserve, and grace gives us what we don't deserve. And again, the dictionary says that grace is to extend favour or kindness to one who doesn't deserve it and who can never earn it. None of us deserve it, and none of us needs to pay for it, for the price has been paid in full. It has been paid, paid, paid. This morning, brother, the hymn we sung in our breaking of bread was, "All our redemption cost, all our redemption won. All it has won for us the loss, all it cost thee the Son." And again, in earlier days, we were reminded that payment God will not choice demand. First, at my bleeding shield his hand, and then, again, at mine. You know, these days in the business world, they're all after business and more business. And so often we read and we hear about some great offers. And then when we read the small print, we find that the great offers is not such a great offer. A friend, tonight you have the opportunity in the gospel call here and in our living to accept the greatest offer that has ever been given to mankind, and that tonight is the gift of God, which is eternal life. Remember this again, that Christ is not only offering you a better life, but the Lord Jesus is offering you eternal life through faith in him. Again, it has been said that to possess it is the richest treasure, to miss it is the supremest tragedy. I wonder tonight, now, have you received the gift of God, this greatest offer that's ever been made to any man or any woman? By faith in the Lord Jesus, you can receive the gift of God tonight, which is eternal life. Not what these hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what this thorny flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, my Saviour, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace. again, it has been pointed out that the grace of God cannot be explained, but it can be experienced in your life. And you can experience and enjoy the grace of God in salvation tonight, as we've said, by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And I'm sure we're all coming into contact with people who are overpowering. We find that they try to force themselves upon you. But you know, when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's not like that at all. Because he says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And again, we sometimes sing softly and tenderly, "Jesus is calling." The Lord Jesus will not force himself upon you. You must make the move yourself. Remember again, no matter how great your sin, God's great, his grace is greater in your life. Let our debts be what they may, however great or small. As soon as we have not to pay, our Lord forgives us all. His perfect poverty alone that sets the soul at large, and we can call one might our own, we have no full discharge. Our chorus says, "Mercy there was great, and grace was free." Going back to the book of Micah, now I can't quote very many verses from Micah, but there is this, that God delights in mercy and in grace. So what does God want from you tonight? Again, as I've said already, he wants repentance towards him and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, and you will enjoy his mercy and his grace. I think it was Spurgeon that pointed out that the promises of God are based on his power, that is, his ability to fulfill them. The warnings of God are based upon his holiness, but his mercy is always available to culminate them. It is mercy wholly that we are dependent upon. I wonder tonight, friend, have you ever said to God, just from the depths of your heart, "Have mercy upon me, the sinner"? You know, if you do that tonight, you will be eternally saved. And then the chorus goes on to say, "Pardon there was multiplying to me." Now, my English isn't very good, I'm sure you've noticed, but again, we have a look at the dictionary, and we find that the word "pardon" means to forgive, to allow to go unpunished. And that is what God is wanting you to do tonight. That's why Christ died. He wants to forgive you, and he wants you to go alone unpunished, because the Lord Jesus Christ bare the penalty for your sin, and mine will bear it upon Golgotha. Again, someone has said this, that some imagine that a sense of pardon is an attainment only obtainable after many years of Christian experience. But you know, the forgiveness of sins is a present thing, a privilege for this day, a joy for this very hour. And you can experience again God's pardon tonight, because the Lord Jesus died that we might be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to forgive you and to allow you to go unpunished. Now again, in Nehemiah chapter 9, we read these words: "There are God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great mercy." I think, friend, tonight, you'll find this, that God is more ready to forgive than what you are to confess. And again, Hebrews tells us, says, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no longer." David wrote Psalm 25, and in Psalm 25, David says this: "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." And there we find in that psalm that David found that the Lord was ready to pardon and not to punish. Sins as measures as the sea, from them all he cleanses me. No matter what you've done tonight and what you've been dealt with, you can receive a pardon by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 55, remember that the words are, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And we find the margin of our Bible says this: "Multiply to pardon." And that again is what we sung tonight. "Pardon there was multiplied to me." Now sometimes if we're wrong, we're very sometimes reluctant to forgive, but not so with God. He's ready to pardon. He's ready to forgive. If we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read there concerning King Saul. And Saul says to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Now I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. You know, we learn there that Saul's plea for pardon, it was too late. Too late. Again, as we say, a dangerous presumption to say tomorrow when God says today. And again, we often say, oh, sinner, God's patience. May weary someday and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By woeful resistance, you drifted away over the deadline at Mass. We were down in Warwick on holiday. And we're going on a bus drive. And I don't know how, but I told Rebel that I'm, as I said, you're always obsessed with punctuality. I hate being late. And this day I had in my mind that the bus was leaving at 9:45. And we went down just round about the half hour. Must have just been after the half hour, because we discovered the bus was gone. And Israel says, the boys are never going to believe that they missed a bus. But you know, well, it must have been a minute. But we missed it. Friends, and I could I plead with you, don't be too late and miss God's offer of salvation. Again, someone has said, one small state of obedience is a great state to blessing, but be sure tonight, make sure that you don't just miss it. In Acts chapter 24, we read about a conversation with a man named Felix and Saul, or Paul, and it says that this man Felix heard Paul concerning the faith in Christ, and as he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, it says, Felix trembled, and he says to Paul, go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee. Thou we do not read in our Bibles. If ever this man Felix had another opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus as his Saviour, never, we don't know if he ever had or this convenient season came around in his lifetime. We don't know. Could I say this? I don't think so. Another man, Acts chapter 26, and his name was Agrippa. And Agrippa says to Paul, always thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Now, I don't know, but I'm inclined to think that this man, Agrippa, never had another opportunity to be a Christian. Friend tonight, could I plead with you as well? Don't put it off. A dangerous presumption to say tomorrow when God says today. I know again sometimes we sing in our gospel meetings, almost persuaded not to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive, almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail, almost but lost. My friend tonight, God is ready to pardon, and he will pardon abundantly, he will multiply to pardon. And tonight we would plead with you, ask God to pardon you before it is too late. Our hymn says, almost, but lost. How sad it would be, now, wouldn't it, if you were almost there and you put off and are eternally lost. Then our chorus is going to say, there my burdened soul found liberty that can't rest. Psalm 38, David again says, for mine iniquities have gone over mine head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. And again, that's what happens in Psalm 51. Again, as we've quoted already tonight, a broken and a contrite heart I will not despise. Again, Psalm 55 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Again, someone says, Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat, I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet, by faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow, thou wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, if you do that, if you say that, then the Lord Jesus will do that in your life. So if you feel your soul is burdened, and I remember this, your burden can be lifted. Again, something just between you and God alone, in the quietness of your heart, just as you sit in your seat, this burden can be lifted by trusting the Savior. Someone again has said this, the pain is not of faith, open wide the door to forgiveness. Yeah, I was only 14 when I was saved. I didn't know what redemption meant. And sometimes you're struggling yet. Sanctification, I don't know what sanctification meant then. I don't know what justification meant then. But I'll tell you one thing I didn't know, and I didn't understand, that I was a sinner, and that Christ died for me, and believing that, I was saved. There my burden so found liberty, it can't wait. It took a miracle to put the stars in place, it took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul and cleansed and made me whole, it was a miracle of love and grace. I can say this, there my burdened soul found liberty that can't breathe. You know, again, as we go back to Isaiah chapter 61, we read of people there, and it says the Lord Jesus was sent to proclaim liberty to the captives, as it said in Luke chapter 4, sent to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, we all know people, I'm sure of this, who are held in bondage, and they're brokenhearted. They're held captive through bad habits that they cannot break. There are those people out there who are hurting, and they try everything and anything to resolve their problem without doing the only thing that will resolve the problem, and that is coming to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour and knowing his power in their lives. Again, remember this, he's able to do more than we can ask or think, and your burden soul can't find liberty tonight through trusting the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. When you come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucify him. But I love that verse in Acts chapter 13, but God raised him from the dead. Thank God tonight, the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, as Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He had finished there upon the cross, and God raised him from the dead, and he's now in. And one of our older brethren used to say this, he's gone away, but not to stay, he's coming back, perhaps, today. You know, every one of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior will go when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. You know, that frightened me before I was saved. I've seen it often here. My grandfather, man, he used to sing number 13 in the hymn book, Standing on the Promises of Christ our King. They stand by him, I don't know the number, come ye that love the Lord, and let your joys be known. Now, that was fine. But then he used to sing, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, and the saved the verse shall gather over on the other shore, and the road is called up yonder. I'll be there. And as a young lad, I knew that that would be true concerning me. And I was frightened. I was frightened in case the Lord Jesus Christ came and I was alive. I wonder tonight, though, he's gone away, but not to stay, he's coming back. Perhaps today, won't you be caught up to be forever with the Lord if he did come tonight? You know, you can have that assurance again by accepting him as your Saviour. John chapter 5 and verse 24. The Lord Jesus himself says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come under condemnation, but is passed out of death unto life. And we understand that this word, believeth, is an active word, just as the word faith is. And that word believeth means movements toward, commitment to, and dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder now tonight, have you ever done that? You know, you don't just drift into salvation. There's got to be a definite step, a definite movement towards God, a definite commitment to and dependence on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary. And if you do that tonight, you will be eternally saved. I was frightened, you know, before, yeah, I said in the earlier days when I heard about the coming of the Lord, but remember this, that fear is not faith. It says of Pilate, he was afraid. But as far as you know, Pilate never believed. It says of Felix that he trembled, and as far as we know, he never believed. Remember this thing tonight, fear is not faith. I was afraid when I heard about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Maybe you feel the same. But remember this, that fear is not faith. You've got to make this definite movement towards, this commitment to, and this dependence upon the finished work there of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone away, but not to stay. He's coming back. Perhaps today. Again, a word of warning just before we finish. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, again, the word neglect means just to allow, just to ignore, and just to allow to pass by unnoticed, unresponded to. Fed tonight with a plead with you. As you hear the message of the gospel, God loves you, that God wants to save you, that God doesn't want to punish you. because again there the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so for liberty at Calvary. I can see that tonight. I wonder, can you come to the Saviour? Make the delay here in his work. He has shown us the way. Here in our midst he stands today, tenderly saying, come. And so we'll pray. Our Father, again, we just thank thee for the message of the gospel. Again, thou knowest all our hearts bowed in thy presence just now. And again, we just pray, if there's anyone who's never trusted the Lord Jesus as a Saviour, that what they've heard from thy word tonight just might bring them through to faith and salvation. So watch over us all and take us all home safely. We thank thee for the blessing. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for the Saviour. And again, we thank thee for this great offer of salvation through faith in him. We commend ourselves now and ask thy blessing and thy preservation, giving thanks in his name.